Hey, before we start today's show, I want to let you know that we have created a guide just for you, because choosing a cosmetology school is one of the biggest investments you're ever going to make. Most people just don't know the right questions to ask before they enter a cosmetology school. So that's why we've created a free video guide featuring over a dozen deep dive sessions on everything from financial aid to spotting school red flags, you know, the stuff you should avoid, to also just the truth about how to make more money in this industry. So don't start your journey blind. Get the uncut inside information you need to avoid the wrong school and start your career with confidence. You can get the guide by going to avedaidaho.com/guide. That's avedaidaho.com/guide. That link is also in our show notes. Now, here's today's show. Well, hello and welcome to Uncut and Unfiltered Cosmetology Insights with Nathan Shaw, where we help aspiring and current beauty professionals master the business and the craft of cosmetology so you can build a successful, long-lasting career for yourself. Your guide is Nathan Shaw, a dedicated educator and working man's hairdresser, who successfully built his schools from his earnings from behind the chair. He generously shares his deep industry experience to challenge misconceptions and to teach you the crucial skills needed to manage your career. I'm your host, Andy Traub, and today we're going to be focusing on the final hurdle to really starting your professional career, and that's passing your state exams or licensures, as they call them in different states. You know, you put in the hours, you want to get that license, but sometimes that can be very intimidating. So today we're going to talk about preparation and strategy. And Nathan's going to talk about some really practical tips that the schools that he runs use and methods they use so that you can pass those exams. So Nathan, thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
So let's talk about this first and foremost. What kind of things should a school have to prepare someone to pass these exams and tests?
Well, first of all, depending on the state, you're going to have two different tests. One's going to be a written version, testing your knowledge of the curriculum you just studied. And the other part's going to be a practical hands-on test where you're going to have a proctor in the room. They're going to give you instructions of different services to perform or to do, usually on a mannequin. Some states will have live models. And then you'll just have to follow their directions and actually, follow the steps and do those services. As a school, I think the main thing is you just got to have an abundance of the curriculum that they're going to, not just an abundance of curriculum, but like the types of tests that they're going to see on the state board. So we tend to carry our own curriculum as well as the others out there. And we kind of make some combined practice tests that the students can take towards the end of school. We call it senior theory when they're working on the written part of school. And really, once you can master those written practice tests, you're good to go for the written test.
Okay. So how much time is spent actually preparing for these? I mean, are people taking 3 practice tests? Are they taking 20? How much time do they spend actually working on the test itself?
I think that varies a bit from student to student. We try to give students as much as they absolutely need. And a lot of it is, it's really memory recall, memorization, right? It's kind of typical schooling stuff. Can you remember what you were taught and regurgitate it in a test? And they're usually multiple choice. So some people, they'll take 3 to 4 practice tests and ace them. And they're like, I'm good to go. I got this.
Okay.
Others will have to take them several times till they really feel like they've mastered the material. And that's just a skill set, that some people have in bunches and some people have to work a little harder for. But we try to make sure they all have the adequate time and preparation to feel prepared.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about if a student is struggling inside of your school, is it kind of come down to them and their aptitude versus, my question is, if people are really going through a school and spending that much time, that many hours, is there any reason they shouldn't pass that test?
No, we have a very high licensure rate. Most time it's close to 100% of our students are going to pass the licensure. And usually the ones that don't or haven't, they either don't put in the work when they're in school, when we're, giving them the time to study, or we've had some that will graduate and then they'll wait months before they take the test and they're they're not practicing during all those months or thinking about it. And then they get there and they're like, oh, I forgot the steps, or I forgot the process.
Yeah, so, I was driving my youngest to school the other day, and we were practicing the preamble to the Constitution, which sounds really complicated, but it's, you know, it's maybe it's like 100 words or something like that, you know, maybe that, you know, and if you asked me it right now, I couldn't tell you, but in the that morning as I was helping to practice, it was like, you know, I could have said it 100 times because it was fresh, right?
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about the exams themselves. What, when you talk about the written, you know, did they have to go and be supervised at a location? If you don't pass, can you take it again? And how quickly can you take it again? And then we'll talk about sort of the practical hands-on. What does it actually look like? So first with the exam itself, how many questions? How long should it take them to take that?
I believe it's around 100 to 120 questions, depending on whether it's cause or, you know, SD, nails. And again, it's kind of how...
What was that first term?
Whether it's a cosmetology student, an esthetician student, sorry.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and as far as the time, it is timed. I've never had a student that ran out of time.
Cool.
So it's enough time that you can think through questions, think about the answer. It's multiple choice, which, you know, I think multiple choice sometimes does make it easier, honestly.
For sure.
Because there's a correct answer in there, right? If it's multiple choice.
Yeah, and, it's a menu. It's not a blank line staring at you saying, come on, come up with something. Yeah.
Exactly. And so usually when people run out of time, it's, I believe they give you it's 2 hours. And there's multiple testing facilities. It's you know, it's on a computer now, like everything else in the digital age. You'll go to a testing facility where they'll put you at a computer and you just take the test. And as soon as you're done, it usually kicks out your score right away. So you know whether you passed.
Wow.
And as a result, on the written test, you can sign up to take it again quickly if you were not to pass on the first try. So you can take it pretty availably on the written side for sure. It's very available.
Okay. So that piece is pretty simple. What about the actual hands-on? Give me an example of what does a hands-on look like with those different types? I'm fascinated by that. What are the different things they'd have you do if you're going to do nails? As an example.
So, and that's just it. In Idaho, and again, this can vary from state to state, you're going to take in a mannequin head if you're a cosmetology student or even an esthetician student, or a fake hand. It's a rubber hand if you're a nail student. And they're going to have you provide certain services that are basic services. It's nothing too complicated on those dolls or mannequins. And really one of the biggest focuses of the proctor, which is the person administering the test, there's usually a room full of students, you're not in there one-on-one, is to make sure that you understand sanitation and disinfection correctly. They're not seeing you do the best haircut in the world, or you're graded on just how great the nails look, et cetera. It's more or less, do they use the proper disinfection and sanitation methods to protect the health of the public when they get out in the real world?
Yeah, because I can imagine at some point, you know, there's a certain level of artistic freedom that you have to give someone, right?
Yeah.
But again, let's talk about that. I mean, are most people passing these things once they go in?
Yes. Most our students, we have a very high licensure rate of people passing, because at the end of the day, we will spend time with them in school. We do it every month while they're in school. We have a practical test they take that is focused on one section of the final, you know, licensure practice test they're going to take. And then also towards the end of their schooling, we have days that are marked off simply for like, hey, come in.
Right.
This day is going to be all about practicing the practical test. It's going to go through the steps. We're going to do it just like you're in the room. We're going to grade you the way that they grade you. And, you know, it's a way to really build that confidence and preparation so they can go in knowing that they're prepared for the test.
Yeah, that's really helpful, because I remember taking some standardized tests and it was just a weird environment. Mm-hmm. You know, not often it's like so serious. You know what I mean? It's like, everyone, we need to have this certain kind of pencil and sit this far apart. And, you know, I remember now there's all these rules about what watches you can wear and can't wear because they have smart stuff on them. And, you know, it's a sort of an unnatural testing environment that can kind of freak some people out. So I'd love for you to maybe share a story or two about some specific students sort of overcoming their fears. Before we get to that, though, I want to ask about some things that you do to prepare them for sort of the emotional part of it, or not to freak out. Because I'm assuming a lot of people in cosmetology school, they're there because they're like, you know, I'm just not really into traditional schooling. And so,
exactly.
You know, now we're back And it sounds a lot like traditional schooling because we're taking this test, you know, this exam. So what are some of the tips you give people to stay calm and to do a good job on their test?
On the practical side, again, the hands-on portion, it's really to just listen to the proctor, what they're asking for, and then just do what they asked. You know, I mean, I think we talk a lot about not overcomplicating it, not overthinking it.
Right.
You know, because I think that's what tends to happen is people don't like to test. People talk a lot about test anxiety or whatever. They'll overthink the answer.
Right.
Or it's like, listen, you're asked to do this, just do this.
Can you give us an example of someone overthinking something to where they're going to end up messing something up?
Yeah, like for example, they'll tell you to use a razor, to do a razor cut on your mannequin, for example, on a portion of it. And people get very caught up in like, well, how am I supposed to use the razor? And it's like, we've taught them how to use the razor, but because there's multiple ways to use it, they think like, they overthink like, should I use it always? And it's like, just show that you know how to properly use a razor safely. That's really what it's about. It's not about the quality of like, man, you gave the best razored haircut on this mannequin they've ever seen.
Right.
It's more like, can you use a razor properly, safely, et cetera.
Gotcha. What are some, you know, are there students that have like talked themselves out of it and said, you know, I'm fine, but I can't take tests. And suddenly they do well. I mean, do you have any examples or, you know, students you thought of that, and obviously, you know, you're teaching students, but there's other teachers that are closer to the front lines.
Yeah.
But what are some examples of students maybe that over the years you've seen overcome anxiety or worry and do a good job?
You know, that's a great question. I think one of the people that comes to mind comes from, honestly, early in the days of us having the school, but we had a student and she was exactly as you described. She didn't like traditional school. She's very creative, artistic, loved hands-on type of work environment, which is, you know, what cosmetology is. And she had, I would say, pretty massive test anxiety. She was really worried about it. And our director at the time, Patty, she spent a bunch of time just one-on-one with the student, having her practice the tests, kind of talking her through it, talking her down, if you will, right? Not to overthink it, not to worry. And showing her like, hey, you passed these practice tests over and over. We've done them a bunch of times. And we did spend extra time with the student because she had that concern. Excuse me. And she went in and I just remember the excitement and joy that the student had when she came back, that she'd passed the test, you know? It was a really cool experience to see that, you know, showing her that, hey, you got this and we're here with you every step of the way to make sure you get it.
You know, I want to encourage those who are listening too that might be worried about this, you know, oh, I'm going to cosmetology school because I don't like normal testing and suddenly there's this test. The other thing is and I find this to be true, I just don't like to be tested about things that either I don't know about and I don't care about. More the things I don't even care about. Like that's the worst. It's like you don't let information soak in when you don't care about it. But if you really do care about this and you're passionate about it and you're good at it, which you will be by the time you get to the test, I think that's another part of it. Because there's parts of your life that if I said, hey, I want to quiz you about your favorite television show, you could probably tell me a lot of things about it. Why? Because you're passionate about it and you know a lot about it, right? So I think that's probably the difference, is that people generally are not forced to go to cosmetology school. A lot of people are forced to go to college. But yeah. I would say a lot of people are not forced to go to cosmetology school. And so they're there and you're there if you're listening because you want to be. So I do think it's a different environment because it is an extension of your artistic ability that I think that will make it, in my opinion, an easier, you know, I have hobbies that I have to take testing and accreditation on involving sports. And I love taking practice tests. I am like, hey, can I see your test from another state? And that sounds weird, but like, well, it's fun. I care about it. You know what I mean? So I think that's the other thing. It's like, you know, they call it kind of geeking out. Like you can geek out on a topic. And I'm sure that there's people within the cosmetology industry that it's like, if you sat next to someone on a plane, you're like, oh my gosh, you do nails too? I mean, that would be the best plane ride ever for them, right?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
It's a different environment. Well, I want to encourage people to go to your website and get the guide that we've created about how to really decide what school to go to. We're going to talk about that in a few next episode and maybe the next one after that as well, about deciding which school to go to and why. But that's a guide that we've created. You can find it on the website, and I have a link below wherever you're listening to this or watching it, when you go below, you'll see in the description a link to that. And that's got, gosh, I think 12 or 13 different videos, pretty short ones, with your admissions director, talking about everything you need to know and all the questions you would normally ask about going to and choosing a school. And then also, you know, their contact information is there so that when you go, okay, that sounds interesting, I want to talk to a real person, you can talk to a real person. You've got a staff of people, Nathan, are there to answer your questions. I don't want to end on a negative note, but I do want to ask this. What are some warning signs that a school is not, that you need to ask so that you can avoid a school that's not going to prepare you well for those exams?
So I think a big one is, you know, you can look up, every school should be publishing what their outcomes rates are. And by outcomes, that means how many people are finishing the program, how many people are obtaining the state license, and how many people are getting placed in a salon. With that information, you know, that's something you're able to get in advance or be able to go in and talk to about, like, hey, why is your rate here? If it's low, there's concern, right? If they have a good licensure rate, good pass, you know, passing rate, then you're probably in good hands, because that's just one of the disclosures we have to give out as a school. And it really arms the student with the ability to know, it's like, hey, this school is going to do a good job preparing me.
Yeah. I mean, I remember there's high schools that, you know, and this used to be bigger, but than it is now, but high schools, you say, you know, we have a 99% graduation or college placement rate or whatever, right? You know, these rankings are out there. So, you know, again, what's the term that you want them to look for?
The school outcome rates.
Yep. School outcome rates. And those are published by law?
Yeah. If they're an accredited school, and while not every school is accredited, but the vast majority are, if they're going to be open long-term, you need to get accreditation to kind of prove your, you know, your worth, so to speak. But if you're accredited, the Department of Ed requires, you know, you have to have those disclosures for any prospective students. So it's before they'd ever enroll, both online plus as well as in any enrollment paperwork, it's going to tell you what those outcomes are.
Well, that's great to know. And if they're not bringing them up, there's probably a reason why, and it's not good. So make sure that you're looking at those. And then in a future episode, we're going to be talking about how to choose the right school to go to. Should you go to the one closest to you? Or is it actually worth relocating for a while to go to a school? So we'll talk about that in a future episode. Nathan, thank you for your time and your expertise. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Andy.